Jackie's Quilting Chronicles. I'm Jackie. Welcome to the wrap-up edition of Quilt Market. Actually, I'm not really going to speak too much about Quilt Market today, but I hope you enjoyed the past several interviews that I had done from Quilt Market in October. I know I've gotten a lot of emails and comments that people wish I would do more than one podcast per month, but right now my schedule only permits once a month, and I apologize. Hopefully sometime in the future I'll be able to podcast more than once a month, but there were some wonderful people that I met at Quilt Market, and I really wanted to meet up with them and share their visions of quilting with you. So I hope you really enjoyed that and got inspired by some of those wonderful people that I met. I also wanted to thank all of you for the reviews that you have left on iTunes for me. I really appreciate that a lot. And if you are a listener and you are able to leave a review for me, I would appreciate that as well. And I do get the emails as well from a lot of you, and appreciate your comments and suggestions, and I'm making a list and hopefully going to be getting to some of those in the future. In the meantime, I have certain podcasts that I have in the lineup for this year. Again, I'm going to Quilt Market in the spring. Actually, this will be the first time I've ever gone in the spring. As a lot of you know, Quilt Market moves around in the spring, and this year it's in Salt Lake City. And I've never been to Salt Lake City, and a lot of my quilty bloggy friends live in Utah and are going to be at Quilt Market. And I've heard so many good things about Salt Lake City, and I'm looking forward to going there, visiting the city, and meeting up with some of these wonderful, talented quilting people at Quilt Market. So if you're going to be in Salt Lake City in May for Quilt Market, send me an email and let me know. I would love to say hi while I'm there. I also am in the process of scheduling some interviews while I'm there. So maybe we'll get to meet up at that point too. So send me an email, let me know, and hopefully there's some great ideas that come out of it. So I hope to see you at Quilt Market, and I will have some neat podcasts following that. So anyway, today's episode, I really wanted to kind of focus on something that has become kind of a new quote-unquote obsession for me. And if any of you read my blog, you've probably seen me working recently with silks. In particular, silk dupioni. I don't know how many of you have worked with silks either in garment making or in quilting, but I thought it would be a real interesting episode to talk about the qualities of silk fabrics and how you can work it into a quilting project. So, I don't know if you all know that there are so many different types of silk fabrics out there. The one that I'm currently working with is silk dupioni, which is actually a really kind of neat type of silk. It's got like striations or little nubbies, kind of a neat lightweight fabric, but maybe a little bit less delicate than some of the other silks that are out there. My silk obsession kind of started when my brother and his wife were living in China for 3 years. They recently came back last year, and my parents had gone over to visit, and my mom had picked me up some beautiful silks, printed silks, that are kind of like the types of silks that you might find in dress or kimonos or things like that. I haven't had the opportunity to use those yet, but I do plan on possibly putting them in a crazy quilt. I think it would be really beautiful, and I know historically silks and velvets and wools and things were used in crazy quilts, I think they add a neat dimension to that type of quilting. So I think I'm going to save those in particular for a crazy quilt. I think they will look gorgeous in there. And they're all colors that I adore. They're in greens and pinks, fuchsias, golds. So it'll be a really brilliant type of quilt. But I haven't broached that project yet. So some of the other types of silks that you may have heard of are silk charmeuse, silk chiffon, cotton. There's also cotton blend silk, believe it or not, crepe de chine, georgette, silk file, taffeta, and there's printed silk. So there's a whole host of it. If you actually go on and Google silk fabrics, you'll come up with a ton of hits and many places that will sell it. But just be careful. Silk prices actually, like cotton prices, have gone up recently. So silk is not that inexpensive. However, I was able to get a lot of my silk dupioni down in New York City. A friend of mine, Victoria from Bumble Beans, she lives down in New York City, and I've been down to visit her several times, and I have purchased some silks, silk dupionis with her. And if you can bargain somewhat with the shop owners, and they may give you some type of discount depending on how much you purchase. The more you purchase, the more likely they are to give you a discount. And the silk dupionis that I have purchased come in two types of widths. They come in the 45-inch, which is your standard cotton quilting width, and they also come in 54-inch. So you get a little more bang for your buck, actually, if you get the 54-inch, which is what I've tended to do because it's not that much more expensive to get the 54-inch, but you get a lot more fabric. So just keep an eye out for that and be a savvy shopper when you go out there. There are a lot of online sources. Unfortunately, I don't currently sell silks in my online shop. I've been looking for a distributor or manufacturer to purchase silks that I can sell in my shop that I could purchase at a reasonable price. But right now, the prices are kind of unattainable for me personally to purchase them for my shop. So maybe sometime in the future, I might carry them. So you can always check my website, cvquiltworks.com/shop, in the future for possibly silks. But right now, it's just, you know, mostly the regular quilting cottons that you can find in my shop. Anyway, if any of you follow my blog, which is at cvquiltworks.blogspot.com, you'll have seen recently that I have started working with the silk dupionis, and in particular, I used them in a project called the Little Twister. Many of you might be familiar with this tool or template, which that can be found in my shop. They're actually on reorder. They sell out every time I buy them and put them on. But I thought this particular project would be kind of neat to try the silks. Now, one of the things that I need to warn you with about silks is that silks fray a lot. So you have to handle them with care. But one of the things that will reduce the fraying quite a bit is to back them with a really lightweight interfacing, an iron-on interfacing, not a sew-in, an iron-on interfacing. And when I say really lightweight, it has to be one that, almost feels like there is no weight to it. It feels like almost like a silk. And it works very well. However, what I found really interesting was when I first used it, and you can see it on one of my blog posts. On my blog, I did a tutorial, a little twister tutorial, which is on my left sidebar. If you go down to tutorials and click on little twister, you will see this particular project done in the silks. Or you can just type in on my search in my blog, silks or Little Twister, and you'll come up with the particular post about silks and the Little Twister. Anyway, in the blog post, you will see the interfacing that I used. And what I did prior to backing the silk with it, I cut off the piece that I needed, like the size piece of silk that I needed for my project. And then I cut my interfacing and I went to the iron and I turned my iron down to a silk setting. Well, I was standing there, it seemed like forever, with a silk setting, and the interfacing didn't seem to be adhering to the silk. So I thought, oh, what the heck? I'm going to turn this way up to cotton. So I turned it way up to the hottest setting, thinking that, you know, I could possibly destroy the silk doing this. But lo and behold, the interfacing adhered phenomenally well, and I did not destroy the silk. So it worked for me. Now, again, this was silk du peony. It might be different on a different type of silk. I don't believe that I used steam, but, you know, you can always try a little test piece just to see how it works out. But it really did work fine on the high setting, and I was really kind of floored by that. But once you have your interfacing fused to the back of the silk, basically, not only does it stabilize it from fraying, but not that silk has any stretch in it, but boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, it's nice and crisp. And if you sew a precise quarter-inch seam, that your project will be probably almost as perfect as you'll ever get a project. It was unbelievable. And you'll see in the pictures on my blog that it shows how precise these really were. It's kind of amazing, and I definitely am going to use it again. And when I went down on my next trip to see my friend Victoria, I picked out a bunch of cool Caribbean blue and green and teal silks to go in a particular quilt that hopefully I will get to sometime this year. But I did a blog post about that as well, showing the different colors of silks that I chose. Now, just last week, I'm now doing blogging for Quilt Magazine, which is kind of neat, and it's a new little gig for me. I'm really pretty happy about it. But the blog post that I did for them, and you can check it out there, is all about the silks. And you can just go to quiltmag.com and click on the blogs, and then you'll have my name to choose from. Click on my name, and it'll show you the blog post. I would love it if you'd leave me a comment there. That would be fantastic. I love the comments that people have left. But I do talk a little bit more about the silks there and show you a few pictures as well. So hopefully that'll give you a little inspiration too. So anyway, back to cutting the project and all. So once it's all backed and you start using that rotary cutter, there is no fraying, which is pretty amazing. So you don't have to handle it as gingerly as you would without the interfacing on the back. So keep that in mind. So the piece went together really well. I loved the little bit of sheen that it gave to it. I used a black silk as my background, so it almost looks like a glammed up version of an Amish quilt, which I thought is kind of neat. I used bright colors against a black background, and I love this quilt. Now, what I plan on doing with it is I'm going to be using a batting, which actually has silk in it. It's Quilter's Dream Orient. And I've used this on customers' quilts, and it's a fabulous batting. It has silk in it. It has bamboo. It has tensile, all natural fibers, And silk, by the way, happens to be a very, very strong fiber if you aren't familiar with it. So I'm going to utilize this batting in the quilt, and then I'm going to quilt it with silk thread. No, I haven't tried silk thread yet, but I have it. And interestingly enough, and this is the next part of this podcast that I kind of want to move on to outside of the fabrics, there was in Threads magazine, I had seen it on the newsstand in Barnes & Noble. It is the March 2001 edition, number 153. And on the cover, what caught my eye was spools of thread and the little silk cocoons. And it said, silk thread, why it's a natural for construction. Well, of course, I had to buy the magazine just for that article. And I was glad that I did. I learned a lot more about the silk thread. And interestingly enough, when my daughter, sorry about that, I just dropped a battery. My daughter had gone to visit my brother in China, and she had gone to a silk factory. And what amazed me from her point of view, she came home actually with a little silk silkworm cocoon, which they're very tiny. They're probably not even quite an inch in length and maybe half an inch in width. But they're these little cocoons that the silkworm spins around their body so that, they're protected before they become moths. But while she was there at the silk factory, they had taken one of the silk cocoons, and I forget how many people were doing it, but they gathered around like in a circle, and all of them took a piece of the one cocoon, and they stretched it and they stretched it and they stretched it kind of like a huge pancake. But because the silk fiber is so strong, there was no breaking. I was amazed at the pictures that she took. I just could not believe that this one little cocoon could stretch out to be that thin and that strong. So this tells you a little bit about the strength of silk thread and that particular fiber. And now, there are several manufacturers out there that do make silk thread. One is Clover, one is Superior Threads, which I've purchased some of theirs. It's called Kimono, I believe is the name of their thread, silk thread. And Things Japanese is another source for thread. Their website is silkthings.com. And also YLI. And I have a whole tube of some silk threads from YLI that I had picked up at Quilt Market a couple years ago. And I've been dying to use them. They're brilliant threads. But just like any other thread that you'll buy out there in the market, they come in weights. 100 weight being the thinnest. And that is what I currently have with the Kimono silks, are 100 weight. And for those of you who don't know too much about the weight system on threads, the higher the number, the thinner the thread. So in other words, the 100 weight silk, it's going to contain fewer filaments. So it gives a softer feel to either the garment or the quilt that you might be making. And interestingly enough, in the article it says 1 kilogram of silk products or silk produces 100,000 meters of 100 weight silk thread. Is that unbelievable? It's because it's so thin, it produces that amount of thread. I find that mind-boggling. So you can fit a lot on a bobbin, by the way, just so you know, if you're using 100 weight. Plus, 100 weight is definitely more blendable. You will not see it as much. But then if you go to a 50 weight silk thread, which is going to be thicker, so it's obviously twice as thick as 100 weight, and they can get obviously half as much yardage from the 50 weight thread. You can 50 weight thread. I use actually 50 weight cotton thread for piecing my quilts. So it would be a really good one for piecing. Not that 100 weight wouldn't be good, but 50 weight would be a great one to use. But they also make, unbelievably, I didn't know that they would make it this thick, but they also make a 30 and a 16 weight silk thread. And those, but those are used for, you know, decorative stitches, buttonholes. And it's obviously it's about 10 times thicker than your 100 weight thread. Now, what I'm going to use my, I did not piece the, my silk project with silk thread. I should have, I wasn't thinking about it at the time that I could use the silk thread for piecing, but, I might try it on the next project, which would be pretty neat to try, but I do plan on quilting it with the silk thread. Now I'm going to use, I think I'm going to use the kimono, which is a 100 weight silk thread. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes through my long arm. But because of the strength of the silk, I am thinking that it's going to do really well in the long arm. A lot of people, I think, have a different vision of silk thread possibly breaking or not, or snagging on things. But I'll tell you what, it's really a fine fiber to work with and very, very durable. Like I said, I mean, there was probably 20 to 25 people pulling on this little silk cocoon and stretched it out to, you know, the size of a small room, and it didn't break, which is interesting. Now, in this article in Threads, they talk about a lot of things. They talk about how they harvest the silk and they extract it from the cocoon, which is quite interesting. I think it was a great read. So if you're really kind of interested in this, I would definitely go out and get the magazine for a few bucks. But one of the things that they talked about was the twist of the thread. And I think this is also true for other threads as well. There's a Z-twist and an S-twist. A Z-twist is spun clockwise, and is that selection, if you choose a silk that's twisted with a Z-twist, it's definitely the right selection for machine sewing. An S-twist is more prone to untwist as it passes through the sewing machine. And they do have a diagram in here in the article of a Z and an S twist. So this is also true of other threads. I know it is because I've heard Bob Purcell talk about it with other threads. So it's going to make a difference whether your thread is going to untwist as it goes through your sewing machine. I don't think you want it to untwist. Obviously, it's going to make your life a little bit harder as well. A couple little neat factoids that they had in this article about silk filament thread is that a sewing machine bobbin can hold 200 meters of 100 weight silk filament thread. Now, that is equivalent to an entire spool of polyester thread. I find that mind-boggling. So your bobbin is going to go on and on and on and on. And the woman who wrote this article, Maggie Backman, she said she uses the 100 weight silk filament thread in the bobbin on her sewing machine, and she pairs it with either 100 or 50 weight top thread and sets the machine to a shorter stitch length, and she uses that for pretty much any of her sewing projects. She says she's also asked, you know, how to care for her garments that are sewn with the silk thread. And, you know, a lot of this, the silk doesn't shrink. You can dry clean. You can probably hand wash most of it and let it air dry as well. So another little factoid too is the silk filament thread leaves no fuzzy residue in the bobbin case. So, and I know, I don't know about a lot of you, but when I'm using, you know, cotton threads, especially in my long arm, which goes at a higher speed than your regular home sewing machine, you get a big buildup of lint and you're constantly cleaning it out. And likewise in your sewing machine, but it's not going as fast, so your buildup doesn't appear as quickly. But if it leaves no lint residue, you're going to clean less, obviously. So that's a neat little fact. Silk filament threads. Also, you should sew at shorter lengths. They eliminate the need for reinforced stitching at the seam stress points. So, like if you're, if you're making a garment, like stress points would obviously be like seams at your shoulders and maybe buttonholes and things like that. Stress points being that. So that's kind of neat. So you can, you know, reduce the stitch length, but I bet you if you make a mistake, it would be a bear to take out if you're reducing the stitch length. Plus the fact that if you're using a 100-weight thread, it's going to be really tiny, or really barely visible, actually. The 150-weight silk thread or silk filament thread eventually will mold to your body curves because the thread is flexible and elastic. Quality silk filament thread has as much as 28% natural elasticity. So that's kind of a neat little thing. So if you're making a garment, it may be a perfect choice for piecing it together. Silk filament thread is an excellent choice for basting. It slides from the fabric easy without marring the fabric. So if you're basting a quilt and you're afraid of leaving little holes in it, rather than using a quilting thread, which is definitely a thicker weight, when you remove those basting stitches, you won't have those little holes. So that's kind of neat. Silk filament's luster means it doesn't have to perfectly match the fabric. The filament reflects the shades surrounding them. Also, 100-weight thread sinks into the fabric. Now, that happens to be true of most 100-weight thread. It's going to blend in more with the fabric just because of the pure nature that it is a lighter weight thread. But the silk will add a little bit of luster to it. So since I'm going to be quilting it with silk thread, it's going to be real interesting to see how it turns out. So stay tuned. I will, you know, be posting on my blog, hopefully at some point when I get this little silk quilt on my machine to quilt. And you can, we'll be able to see what it looks like once it's quilted. I imagine stitching in the ditch is going to be a dream. I know that I'm going to do a little bit of it on this particular quilt. So you probably won't even be able to see the stitch in the ditch. But I plan on doing some feathers and stuff like that. So we'll see how they show up. But it'll be a neat little heirloom piece when I'm done. So, just in recap, I mean, I guess I'm probably a little bit of a purist on this particular quilt since it's my first silk quilt that I've actually pieced together. I wanted to do the whole quilt in silk and the quilting in silk and the batting in silk. Didn't think about the piecing, but I might, you know, consider that next time on this cool Caribbean quilt one that I hopefully will be making at some point this year. So anyway, so some places that you can find some information about my silk quilt that I pieced is on my blog at cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. Do a search either in the sidebar for the search or go down to tutorials and look at Little Twister. You also can find a post that I put on Quilt Magazine at quiltmag.com. Certainly, if you have any questions about the silk and using it, send me an email. I'd be glad to answer you and let you know my take and my experience on the silk, and hopefully I'll have many more experiences with it because I absolutely adored it, working with the silk, and I just love the results. I think it's just beautiful. It may not be practical for a large quilt, but I'll tell you what, for a little wall hanging, it's beautiful. So you might want to give it a try. And don't be afraid. It's really a very strong fiber, and it has a wonderful luster to it. So don't be afraid to give that a try. I would love to hear some of your experiences. If you have tried it, send me some pics. I would love to post them up on my blog, too. That'd be fabulous. Actually, I think that'd be kind of fun. So if you have some pictures of some projects that you've used or made with silks, please go ahead and send me. You can send an email to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at cvquiltworks.com, and I'll get your pictures in, and hopefully I will do a blog post once I get a bunch gathered up. That would be kind of neat. I'd love to showcase your projects as well. And again, thank you very much for leaving reviews on iTunes for me, and I hope to be back next month with something really special for you guys to listen to. Thanks for coming today and listen to me chat about silk. I hope you enjoy trying it. And remember, I would love to see those projects. I hope you all have a great month, and I will see you next time, next month. Until then, happy quilting. Take care.